This DJ Kirk State. When I need info on today's important events, I tune into Block Report Podcast with my mans, Tafari XL. Let's go.
TK Visions Beats.
It's the Carol by XL.
TK Visions Beats. TDK Visions Beats.
Hey, what's going on? It's the Block Report Podcast, and I'm your host, Tafari XL. Thank you for joining the podcast. Shout out to everyone in Streamland and Podcast Land that is tuning in and listening to the to this episode. I want to get to some news and stuff like that and get you guys kind of up to breath with what's going on out there. We're going to start first near our home base out here in New York. And before I get into that, just remember that you can reach out to the Block Report Podcast on the, if you're listening on Spotify, there's buttons there for to support, leave a message. And, you know, you can like and share the podcast as well. Also, you can get at us at theblockreportpodcast@gmail.com. So check it out. This is coming from Albany, New York. And this was reported on ABC7 News here in New York City. First New York pot sales permits will go to people with convictions. Albany, New York. The first licenses to sell recreational marijuana in New York will go to people who were casualties of the war on drugs, according to state officials. People with marijuana-related convictions will get dibs on the first 100 to 200 retail cannabis licenses awarded by the state in an effort to redress the inequities of a justice system that locked up a disproportionate number of people of color for drug crimes. Now, 100 to 200, what's the overall number of amount of people that are going to get these retail licenses? Because it was far more than 100 to 200 people that they locked up. Disproportionately with those Rockefeller drug laws and such. But let's continue. Some licenses will go to nonprofits or businesses who have a leader linked to a marijuana conviction. Priority also will be given to people with a parent, legal guardian, child, or spouse convicted of a marijuana-related offense. Governor Kathy Hochul on Thursday announced the First in the Nation Seeding Opportunity Initiative, which will position individuals with prior cannabis-related criminal offenses to make the first adult-use cannabis sales with products grown by New York farmers. So this is cannabis that is grown by New York farmers that they'll be able to, that these new potential licensees or licensors, people, individuals getting these licenses will be able to make the first adult use cannabis sales with the products from grown by the New York farmers. She said the farm to store initiative makes sales in New York possible before the end of 2022, jumpstarts New York's cannabis industry, guarantees support for future equity applicants, and secures an early investment into communities most impacted by the disproportionate enforcement of cannabis prohibition. New York State is making history, launching a first-of-its-kind approach to the cannabis industry that takes a major step forward in righting the wrongs of the past, she said. The regulations advanced by the Cannabis Control Board today will prioritize local farmers and entrepreneurs, creating jobs and opportunity for communities that have been left out and left behind. I'm proud New York will be a national model for the safe, equitable, and inclusive industry we are now building. That was Governor Kathy Hochul. The Cannabis Control Board advanced two components of the Seeding Opportunity Initiative. Now, I saw I'm just going to pause here for a second, brief aside. I saw a video with who I believe was the head or the executive of the Cannabis Control Board. And if I could get the... I'm going to try to get the brother's name here. I saw it was a brother. And one of the things that intrigued me about him when he mentioned, when he was speaking on this particular topic and this initiative, that he said the so-called, he called it the so-called war on drugs, because most people who have looked at this as looked at this war on drugs with an objective eye have noticed that it wasn't a war on drugs. It was a war on people of color with drugs, because most non-black people that were caught with drugs, where they're not really harassed in their communities by the police when they have tons of drugs there, so. And they're not harassed by the police like how black people were in the inner cities were. And they had far more drugs and far more access to the drugs. And they weren't the ones that ended up filling up the jails for decades and decades of time. And also, if they even were caught with drugs, a lot of the times that they would get probation or some drug program. So I kind of felt where that brother was coming from. I'm going to see if I could pull up the brother's name. Let's see if I get him here. Okay, no. Well, this is someone else. That information is not entirely correct. But wait, hold up. Is this him? Ruben McDaniel. The third New York State Cannabis Control Board member and president. Yeah, I think it was this brother right here, Ruben McDaniel III. But the chair of the Cannabis Control Board is Tremaine Wright. And a board member is also Jed Metzger. So Tremaine Wright appears to be a black woman. Chair of New York's Cannabis Control Board discusses state strategy on key decisions. It's obvious Tremaine Wright feels the urgency. Appointed to chair the state's newly formed Cannabis Control Board in September, Wright and her colleagues are asked incessantly when New York's marijuana industry will be up and running. Well, they're getting more information on that now. So let me finish with the original article. And first, it advanced to public comment regulations for conditional adult use retail dispensaries as part of the seeding opportunity. Oh, let me bring it back a little bit, just a little bit. So this is where we're going to start it from again, so we can get back on track and online with where the original news piece is. The Cannabis Control Board advanced two components of the Seeding Opportunity Initiative. Now, the Seeding Opportunity Initiative is that farm-to-retail initiative. Remember, the New York farmers will be growing the cannabis, and then it will be going to retail and to these individuals that will be getting first dibs on the retail licenses. So first, it advanced to public comment regulations for conditional adult use retail dispensaries. As part of the Seeding Opportunity Initiative, this subset of dispensaries must be owned by equity entrepreneurs with a prior cannabis-related criminal offense who also have a background owning and operating a small business. They will be the first to open and make sales in New York State, establishing equity-owned businesses at the front end of New York's adult use market. Okay, so they need to have prior business owning owning and operating a small business prior to this, and have a prior cannabis related criminal offense in order to be, I guess, expedited to the front of the line to take advantage of this initiative and get that license. Second, the board approved the license application for hemp to grow adult-use cannabis this spring, called the Adult-Use Conditional Cultivator License. The board designated March 15th as the opening date for the application portal. Convictions must have occurred before March 31st, 2021, when the state's legalization bill was signed by former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Social equity emerged as a key theme in marijuana legalization in recent years. States where marijuana is legal have increasingly tried in recent years to ensure there's a place in the market for people who were prosecuted because of a now allowed drug, but the efforts have been slow moving in many states. Well, I have been mentioning this and talking about this over my social media, on Twitter at TafariXL, and you know, I won't say incessantly, not like that, but from time to time, I have brought it up and mentioned how many of us, when I say many of us meaning people on the in Black society who were who received the who were disproportionately punished for possession of cannabis or marijuana, and did all of this time. And then now they're giving, now that they're making legalization for it, they're leaving these people out of it, out of the monetization of this plant that was just not too long ago illegal. Excuse me. So, and I found it to be totally fair. I mean, there's people who were deported. They have records. They have a record with the felony. They can't come into the country because of them moving marijuana from one place to another. And now it's legal, and people have decades sentences and were unable to get work even after they served their sentence. Due to these offenses, due to their record showing that they had a drug offense, a criminal drug offense and such and so on. And then now they're rewarding other people with the ability to make money off of this same thing that they just went ahead and put this person away and for decades or ruined their ability to travel and move and earn a livelihood. By giving them a criminal charge for marijuana. So that was something that definitely needed to be repaired and addressed. I remember Governor David Patterson, he had began starting to do something like that of that nature, where he had started the initiative where to try to repeal some of those Rockefeller drug laws and mandates that got people hit with all those football numbers for drug offenses and for nonviolent drug offenses, I might add. And so he had began that process, I remember, some years ago, about 14, 15 years ago, and about 15 years ago. And he also started pushing for drug rehab and drug program if the person was just caught with possession of the drug but not caught in the act of selling the drug. And even in some cases, people who might have been had a charge for selling, they were able to get around by saying, like, listen, they were also a user and they were selling it, so they were even getting, some of them were getting drug programs too with that as well. Okay, so that's just a little brief history on that. What we're going to do, I'm going to finish up this article. Yeah, I was going to take a quick break, but there's only a little bit of the article left. It's not, and so I'm not going to hold you guys up much longer. I'm just going to finish up the article. All right, so, it's kind of my page. Okay, yes, here it goes. All right, so as I ended off with, convictions, states have been slow moving to make that effort. So actually, One second, guys. Here, this computer. All right, okay. New York is taking a big swing, said Cassandra Frederick, the executive director of the Pro-Legalization Drug Policy Alliance. We don't know what's going to work, she said, but the thing that New York is showing here is that they're willing to try and they're willing to do things differently. This is a real try towards achieving equity. The licensing plan follows other New York initiatives, such as a proposed $200 million startup grants and loans fund for marijuana entrepreneurs who are women or minorities. Struggling farmers, disabled veterans, and people from communities that endured heavy pot policing. New York aims to provide 50% of licenses to such applicants. It's really encouraging to see that New York is taking the lessons learned from other states, said Melissa Moore, another Drug Policy Alliance leader. Hochul's administration has vowed to create the most diverse and inclusive marijuana industry in the nation and provide opportunities for people who bore the brunt of the decades-long U.S. war on drugs. Okay, guys, that's today's report from the Block Report podcast. I am your host, Afari XL. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back shortly with another Block Report to you. All right, do well, be well, peace.